Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome to a special edition of Real Science Friday. Last week, Fred Williams and I reported on a spat between an astronomy blogger at Discover Magazine and creationist engineer Spike Pisaris, who has produced perhaps the best ever creation DVD on astronomy and specifically on the solar system. Well, the Discover Magazine blogger Phil Plait is angry at Spike for using the word evolution. And what an honor to have on the program. Spike, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. I'm not sure I can live up to the introduction, but...
No, what a great DVD. And the title of it is What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. Spike, I've done science shows for 20 years. I've read a number of science astronomy textbooks that are used in schools, high school, college. You nailed it. Students are not being told so many extraordinary truths about our solar system.
Yeah, that was sort of the approach I wanted to take, because science programs, magazines, television shows will tell you that we know this and we know that. But what they aren't explaining is that this and that have some serious problems at their foundation.
Serious problems. And maybe we're not going to get into those, because hopefully if you're in Denver in a few months from now, we could have you in studio and go through the content of your DVD. But you show how the condensing nebula theory predicts that we wouldn't have any number of the planets in our solar system, and serious problems with every planet being explained by a natural hypothesis.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it immensely. The reason we're talking today is because this blogger at Discover Magazine, he blogged again, remarking that Fred Williams and I last week reported on the spat between the two of you. He was really upset with you because you used the word evolution in an astronomy DVD.
Oh, yes, he was more than upset. To be clear, he didn't use the word liar, but he said I was willingly and knowingly deceiving people.
Yeah, he said you were bearing false witness. Right.
Deliberately, yes.
Pretty strong words. So, in other words, what you were doing was false, and you knew it. And you were trying to.
Which means I was lying.
Right. And you were trying to mislead people. So, could we talk about. He's upset that you were using the word evolution to describe astronomy. And your rebuttal on your website, creationastronomy.com, is one of the best rebuttals, a defense of an evolutionist attack I've ever seen. Could you describe, we did this last week, but could you describe how you rebutted his claim that you were misusing the word evolution?
Well, I quoted him where he said, evolution has nothing to do with astronomy. And in the very first post where he complained about this, he even made a comment about Jupiter having chromosomes. Are creationists really that confused?
Right.
And I just answered back and I said, well, astronomers use the word evolution all the time, not to have anything to do with plants or animals, but just to talk about formation and development of planets, stars, galaxies, everything else,
yeah,
without any sort of creation event or creator being involved.
Right.
They just meant naturalistic processes.
Then you showed the cover of 9 texts, astronomy texts, and it was just such a powerful rebuttal, because each one used the word evolved or evolution in the title of the astronomy text.
Right, just to make the point that the word is used so frequently. And the astronomer who wrote this about me knows this, because he's used the word himself to apply to stars. I quoted him in my rebuttal.
Right, exactly. And you pointed out the current edition at that time of an astronomy journal had 3 articles with the word evolution in their titles.
Right. And there was other examples I could have listed, but I didn't want to be belaboring
right.
the point.
Yeah, you could ad nauseum give hundreds of examples. But it shows that, well, what does it show? First of all, when I saw your video, I remembered in the introduction, you very clearly stated why you were using the word evolution. Do you recall how you put it?
I just said I'm going to use the word evolution to describe the belief that our solar system was not created. And I pointed out that the word is often used to describe biological evolution, but astronomers use it in a broader meaning. So I'll quote myself. I said, when I use the word evolution, I'm not talking about plants or animals. I'm talking about the belief that our solar system and everything in it formed and developed all by itself.
You couldn't be more clear. It's pretty straightforward. The DVD obviously is about astronomy and not biology. So what happens is these guys get upset at you saying that they believe in evolution. It reminds me of the liberals who run away from the term liberal, but conservatives like to be called conservatives. And now we have a good development where evolutionists are seeing a negative consequence of the term evolution, and we creationists, we love being called creationists. I like that. How about an alternative? What if you were not to use, how long is the DVD you produced, volume one?
Hour and 45 minutes.
Hour and 45 minutes, the fastest hour and 45 minutes you'll ever spend watching an astronomy program. What if you would not use the word evolution? What alternative would you have?
Well, it would be really awkward because I'd have to say things like the naturalistic hypothesis for the origin and history of our solar system or something really awkward. I'm not going to say that. The astronomers who believe in evolution can use the word, so am I disallowed from using the word just because I don't believe in it? I'm using it in the same way that they use it.
Then he argues that we creationists, in fact, he said we're on the radio, Fred Williams and Bob Enyart, are on the radio, and they deny the very science that enables radio to work. He's being illogical there, disingenuous, but that's a fallacy, isn't it?
It's a logical fallacy. It's called equivocation. It's where you equate a term to something that it doesn't actually mean and use that to propel your argument forward. So basically, he's defining evolution as being science.
Hmm.
So therefore, if we deny evolution, we deny science.
We deny science. We put together our own list here at Bob Enyart Live of scientists, fathers of the natural sciences who reject evolution. And there are extraordinary giants of science before Darwin who believed in special creation by God, including Isaac Newton and so many others. But
Absolutely. But
after Darwin, those who rejected Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, like Michael Faraday, the father of electromagnetism. Let me give a quick list here. Louis Agassiz of glaciology, Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics, Louis Pasteur, the father of modern microbiology, James Joule and Lord Kelvin, the fathers of thermodynamics, Joseph Lister of modern surgery, G.W. Carver, George Washington Carver, modern agriculture, the Wright brothers, fathers of aviation, von Braun of space exploration, Raymond Damadian, the inventor of the MRI, John Baumgartner, geophysical simulator at the Los Alamos National Labs. There are so many creationists, fathers even, of the natural sciences who rejected evolution, and so clearly the belief in evolution has nothing to do with operational science.
Correct. Somebody who's saying that you need to believe in evolution in order to design a radio, how do you talk to someone like that?
Mm. Could I give you an example? As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, I don't only do radio shows. I do counseling, marriage counseling, and I want to go back in my memory, going back almost 15 years, and give an example of what happened, and I won't betray any confidence. No one will know who I'm talking about. But there was a couple who were going through a terrible marriage crisis, and Phil Plait reminds me of the husband. The wife figured out the husband was cheating, and she actually figured out with who, went to this woman's home at night, rang the bell, the light went on in the bedroom, and the husband came to the door in his pajamas. She woke him up, and he said to his wife, "We weren't doing anything wrong. We were just sleeping." That, to me, sounds like Phil Plait. When you caught him red-handed in this accusation that you are not allowed to use the term evolution, you show that they use it 1,000 times, and he's arguing, well, we're allowed to use it. You're not allowed to use it.
Here's something else along those same lines. He says that I'm using the word evolutionist in order to stir up emotions in people. Well, that's not true. I use it to describe people who believe in the naturalistic origin of everything. I'm not trying to stir up emotions at all. He insists that I am. Well, by that same logic, then, would he be trying to stir up emotion when he uses the word creationist? Well, you would think so, because right. if the logic applies to me, it should apply to him. Especially when on his blog, he uses phrases like stupid creationist, creationist garbage, a passel of creationist lies, the scientific method to a young earth creationist is like holy water to a vampire. On his blog, he's created a very emotional charging and loading to this word.
Spike, your video is the most unemotional video I've ever seen in my life. What I know about you is that you're a former engineer, previously with the U.S. Military Space Program. And when I watch that video, I think of you as a Marine. I mean, you are the straight man. So matter of fact, it's just so fun. And maybe we could talk about some of the particulars in your video, but I interrupted you.
Well, I was just pointing out that on Phil's blog, he has created a lot of emotional baggage around the word creationist, which is what he accuses me of doing with the word evolutionist. So I think it's interesting that, for example, he referred to Dr. Russell Humphreys. He didn't say Dr. Russell Humphreys mentioned he has a PhD in physics and a long list of scientific credentials, won several awards for his work. He just calls him the creationist Russell Humphreys. An unbiased reader, not knowing who Russell Humphreys is going to associate him with the scientific method to a young earth creationist is like holy water to a vampire kind of thinking.
Right.
Another example is Plate wrote about Dr. Jason Lyle of Answers in Genesis. Dr. Lyle has a PhD in astrophysics. He graduated summa cum laude from his undergraduate degree with double major in physics and astronomy.
That was right up the street from us at Boulder, Colorado at CSU.
Which is a very good astronomy program.
Right, exactly. A number of the folks working on Hubble projects worked out of CSU there and all that brain trust.
Mm-hmm. So this is where Dr. Lyle, this is what his credentials are. But when Plate refers to him, he uses phrases like, Jason Lyle is from the evil, lying organization Answers in Genesis.
Right.
So he complains that I'm trying to sway people emotionally, that's his phrase, sway people emotionally by using the word evolutionist, a word that I've already said I'm just applying to people who hold to a belief system. I'm not judging their credentials or their integrity or their intelligence or anything. But here he's using phrases like, Jason Lyle from the evil, lying organization.
And your video makes so many extraordinary observations from the physical sciences, observations that NASA and the secular space industry, they've come up with the data, and we just look at it and we say, look, did you know this? Did they ever tell you this? And it seems like he would have had plenty of opportunity to attack the observations that you were reporting in your DVD if they're false.
That's what I think is most interesting about this, because he has a PhD in astronomy. Now, he said he didn't have time to talk about astronomy because he's a rather busy guy, quote unquote.
Right.
But now he's made 3 blog posts mentioning chromosomes and alleles and trying to apply them to the solar system. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. And pretending that we don't know the difference between biological evolution and a naturalistic Big Bang nebular hypothesis theory.
Exactly.
So what is that getting him? It seems to me when an atheist like, say, Stephen Hawking makes a claim that appears so false on its face, we love to go right to the facts, right to the evidence, and dispute the substance of his claim. That's what we enjoy doing. And we might take, you know, I'm on the radio. I do talk radio 5 days a week for 20 years, radio and TV. And we do, I admit, we take pot shots at people now and then. And it's fun. It's part of the human interaction. But we go for the content, the substance.
Right.
And maybe I'll give you one example, how the world swoons when Stephen Hawking says something, because I assume because he's an atheist. And so
right.
they just think he's infallible. And so he has said things like, if aliens come to Earth, if you meet an alien, you should avoid the alien. Don't talk to him. And also, to avoid global warming, we should go to the moon and to Mars. And I wondered if he knew what the temperatures were on the moon and Mars. And the fact that there's no liquid water and there's no oxygen.
Right.
And how much of a carbon footprint is one launch to get 4 guys on the moon?
I thought it was interesting last month to see how much coverage Stephen Hawking got when he said that the universe created itself, because we understand laws of physics such as gravity, and so those are the things that created the universe. But that's absurd at its foundation, because even according to the Big Bang theory, the laws of physics didn't exist until after the Big Bang.
Hmm. You can't appeal to the laws of physics to explain how the universe came into existence.
Yes. The laws of physics denied the Big Bang anyway in several important ways, which unfortunately we don't have time to talk about. But even setting that aside, to say that the laws created the universe that they exist in means that they had to exist to create themselves. They had to exist before they could have existed. Hmm. It's totally irrational. From nothing, nothing comes.
Right. From
nothing, nothing can create nothing.
Right. A rock cannot create itself from nothing, and a fire cannot burn forever.
The universe can't create itself out of nothing either.
Right. The universe is filled with matter and energy. And so if one rock, one little rock, cannot create itself out of nothing, whole rocky planets and stars burning with enormous quantities of available energy, that can't create itself from nothing. Stephen Hawking said a few years before that recent quote, he was asked, where did the matter of the universe come from? And he said it was borrowed from the gravitational field or force of the universe. And my immediate question back to him would have been, what universe?
Exactly.
What universe? Where did the matter of the universe come from? It was borrowed from the gravitational energy of the universe. What universe? These are
right.
circular arguments.
There's nothing to borrow from. And sometimes their response is, no matter how improbable an event is, if you wait long enough, it will happen. Well, that doesn't work either, because before the Big Bang, supposedly, time itself didn't exist. So there was no time to wait, and there was nothing that could have been waiting anyway,
right.
and no context within which to
right.
wait.
I had an enjoyable 10-round moderated debate, a written debate online at theologyonline.com with a psychologist atheist. The topic was, does God exist? This was moderated. It was a lot of fun. We publish it. I made a prediction. I said to Zaketh, my opponent, that it seems to me that when you're trying to explain how things went from simple to complex, my guess is that in trying to explain something complex, you're going to introduce a solution that is wildly more complex. Wildly
right.
more complex. And so we were talking about how the universe got here, and he posited that there are an infinite number of parallel universes. And so what a perfect example that they can't explain via any naturalistic means how the universe got here. So they think if they say there's an infinite number of parallel universes, then they've answered the question.
Right, which leads them into philosophical hot water, because all these other universes, by definition, can't be observed, because the universe is everything which can be observed. So they're positing unobservable things to explain what we see. They're positing things outside of nature, and the word to describe that is supernatural. That's what the word supernatural means.
Outside of nature.
So they criticize us for having a historical document, the Bible, which accurately reflects history, but because it involves supernatural elements, that's outside of science. But
all
they're
right.
inventing entire universes.
Hey, Spike, could we put you on hold and call you right back? I know that we were only able to do this with a cell phone.
Sure.
We're getting more distortion, so let's call him right back, and I'll make an announcement. I want to let you know about a press conference today, downtown Denver, at the federal courthouse, the Byron White Courthouse, downtown Denver. There was a press conference held by American Right to Life. The Denver media was there, and they laid out the case that Ken Buck, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Colorado, has broken every pro-life campaign promise he's made. He's broken every one, and they specifically showed the survey that he filled out where he stated things like, for example, he will take a leading role in a campaign for a state pro-life constitutional amendment to protect unborn life from the single-stage point of development. So it was an extraordinary press conference today, downtown Denver at the federal courthouse, and you could check out the press release at AmericanRightToLife.org, AmericanRightToLife.org, and please remember to vote yes on Colorado's pro-life personhood amendment November 2nd. It's going to be a great opportunity to protect the unborn. Okay, so now we have you back.
Yes.
Spike Passaris. We were just talking about the circular reasoning of atheists in the origin of the universe, and it seems they have the same problem. The guys who discovered the DNA molecule, God invented it, and then human beings discovered it, the double helix, and they realized that this could not occur by naturalistic processes, so they posited that aliens planted life on Earth.
Right.
Didn't they realize that they were committing obvious, blatant circular reasoning?
Apparently not, because all it does is remove the problem to somewhere else. How did life start there?
Yeah, they're just punting. So if there's a planet around Alpha Centauri 4 light years from here, 24 trillion miles from here, and life evolved there, well, if it's too complex to evolve here, why could it evolve there? They didn't answer the question.
Right.
But they don't realize that? This is dumbfounding to me, Spike. It is so obvious when they are guilty of circular reasoning.
Atheism has some really fundamental logical problems with it. Like when Phil Plait referred to Jason Lyle as from the evil lying organization, Answers in Genesis, I don't know that Phil is an atheist. He associates with those who are, so I'm going to assume that he is. How can an atheist use the word evil? If an atheist denies the existence of God, he denies any sort of absolute moral standard, we can use a word like evil because we understand that there's a God who defines good and bad, right and wrong, good and evil.
Right.
An atheist has no such standard to use.
But, morality is not physical. The laws of grammar, for example, the laws of logic, they're not physical. They don't have mass or shape. They're not physical. So if the only thing that existed was the physical universe, atoms and molecules, then you could shake up atoms and molecules in all kinds of ways, but some of them don't become evil and others become good.
Right.
So if we're just fish in the sea and some fish are eating a lot of other fish, those fish are not evil.
And why is something like murder wrong? Because if I go in my backyard and I kick a pile of dirt, that doesn't make me a bully or someone violent.
Right.
But if I do the same thing to a person, now I've committed an assault on that person, or worse.
A fish could eat another fish without moral consequence, but if we kill innocent children, then we are wicked.
But from an atheistic perspective, we're all just bags of molecules anyway, so there is no right or wrong to be outraged about.
Spike, what an honor to have you on the show. Your website, did I get it right, creationastronomy.com?
Yes, and listeners can see 3 chapters of the DVD, which you've mentioned, online there for free. And I also have a monthly email newsletter, which is also free, that people can get if they're interested in astronomy from a creation perspective.
I've signed up for your newsletter. It's right on your homepage, creationastronomy.com.
Yes.
And your introduction is online, and the Jupiter chapter. What other chapter?
Saturn is there now, too.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. All right. Spike, what an honor to have you on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
God bless you. The video is What You're Not Being Told About Astronomy, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. It's just great. And our site is kgov.com.